as I've said from day one, the Saudi state. What a state. It's the best state to be in. You got the state of Florida.
Of the 51 states I know of, that's the best
state. That's the best state, the Saudi state.
Up for grabs now! Thomas! Right at the end!
Aguero! I swear you'll never see anything like this ever again! So watch it! Drink it in!
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Final Countdown, a podcast looking back at great finals within the game of football. I'm Lewis here, my co-host Adam.
Hello there.
We are continuing our series looking at the final days of the English First Division. And this week, it's almost a little bit of sweet revenge for you because we get to talk about, instead of Liverpool being great, we get to talk about how good Everton were this season.
So there aren't many years where we're going to be able to do this.
No, but I feel that we should give Everton their due because they are absolutely brilliant this season. But unfortunately, the final days of the season don't really concern them because they were so good, they'd wrapped up the title early.
Oh,
so
really?
Everton go on to win the first division, first time in a long, long time, which we'll obviously dig into. But they were so comfortable this year that the only bit of drama, really, most of the season was dead and buried. There was one relegation spot up for grabs as we get into the final days. So, as I said, it's a bit of a damp squib kind of with the title race.
Well, don't piss all over it, mate.
Don't worry. We'll talk plenty about the
Frick me, man.
Peter Reid and Howard Kendall, our favourite man that we spoke about last week.
If you're going to piss all over it, let me just draw attention. Sure. Like, they were seventh the season before.
That's right.
In trouble in the first part of the season.
Which I hadn't realised how badly they'd started that,
season. Obviously, Andy Gray, I think, has changed things dramatically. Yeah. And I think it's Kendall is an obvious one, but there's going to be many, many examples of this, and not many nowadays, because the point making is managers don't get the time anymore.
No, of course
and
not.
It does make you wonder, like, you know, if they hadn't brought Andy Gray in.
Yeah.
Would Kendall have been given the time?
Yeah.
And you think of managers now that just simply aren't given the time.
No, and it's the emergence of Peter Reid as well that really takes Everton to another level. Yeah. So Everton get this spine of Southall and then Reid and to a degree Sharp and Gray. Like this kind of through the middle is incredibly
high. Kevin Ratcliffe, mate.
That's right, yeah.
Welsh finest.
Yeah. Well, not with Neville Southall in the squad. He's Wales's finest.
Yeah.
And also this season, I think, starts to see the emergence of Mark Hughes as well. It's talking about Welsh players.
Yeah.
So Hughes
for United, yeah.
Yeah, become a thing for Man United. But Everton would end up beating second place Liverpool in the Toffees penultimate league game.
Yeah, I was going to ask if Liverpool, had they won by then, the league?
They had.
Right.
So Everton would actually win the league by 13 points. So when it comes to their third Merseyside derby.
13 points?
Yeah. Yeah, it was already a foregone conclusion. And second place Liverpool was actually a little bit misleading, but we'll get into that throughout the season.
Yeah.
But the title had been wrapped up weeks before. But there was excitement at the bottom of the table, as I mentioned, where a few teams were still raging against the dying of the light as they tried to avoid that one last relegation spot. Stoke, however, were not one of those teams. They had been relegated early on with one of the worst first division records ever.
Really?
They only managed 3 wins from 42 games. And a total of 17 points from a possible 126. So we talk about Derby being abysmal and Sunderland in modern era. But yeah,
three wins
in 42 games.
Can you imagine being
games.
A Stoke fan?
I know,
year.
Absolutely dreadful. But there's some interesting like asterisks to the teams that get relegated. So Stoke would be joined by Sunderland, who would be relegated despite being runners-up in the League Cup. So Sunderland, I think we covered it in one of our pods, I'm sure of it, that Sunderland still managed to get to a League Cup final despite the fact that they were relegated.
Yeah.
Amazingly, the third team that they would be joined by in being relegated to the second division were the vanquishers in that cup final, Norwich, who were relegated with a record high points tally of 49.
Wow.
So Norwich and Sunderland met in the League Cup final. Norwich won, but still, both teams got relegated year.
And it's important to notice, the League Cup was on a par, maybe not on a par, but on a par with...
It was
the FA Cup is now.
Yeah, exactly.
It was important.
Yeah, the Milk Cup back then, that's what it was.
It was huge, yeah.
Sponsored by Big Milk, which you got to love.
In case you wondered.
Yeah. Is Milk just a... No, Milk is exactly what you're thinking of. Milk sponsored the Cup. But I just thought that was amazing that two of the three teams that get relegated went to a cup final that season, which there aren't many, many teams to have done that. So, as I said, incredibly, that Norwich, with a points tally of 49, obviously there were four more games back then, but 40 generally being the safe number nowadays, but 49 is still the record. But they would be relegated. There were six teams that were within 3 points of them, though. So there were other teams that almost went down instead of them. Those teams being Newcastle, Leicester, West Ham, Ipswich, Coventry and QPR. So some big teams that we swing about. You mentioned QPR last week that had finished fifth.
And Venables are gone by now.
That's right. And QPR sink like a stone. So within those six teams that I listed, they were only one win away from dropping in, or one loss away from dropping into that relegation zone.
That's great. Have you got the points there in front of you?
Yes.
Some time later.
So what, I just want to clarify. So who was it that finished bottom with nothing?
Stoke.
So Stoke got 17 points. And what was the next team?
Sunderland on 40.
That's what I wanted to know.
It is a
27 points difference.
Absolutely incredible.
When does Stoke go down? Like November?
They literally do go in November. Yeah, you've spoiled one of my facts.
That's crazy.
It is unbelievable. You may as well not have turned up.
That has to be the earliest team's been relegated ever.
That's a good one.
Like Derby were terrible, but I don't remember it being that
early. At least lasted till Christmas, I'm certain.
I don't remember a team ever getting relegated in the year that the league started. That's nuts.
So the earliest relegation in Premier League history was March 30th. So they lasted 5 months longer. That's Premier League era. That was Huddersfield.
But I would probably put a little bit of money on that being the earliest.
It must be. I can't imagine. Three wins. It must be. That's the worst season. Imagine being those players. How did they get promoted? How did they win? Or like, absolutely incredible.
But how did they keep turning up for games? When they knew they were dying.
That is bad. Oh, here's an interesting one, just again for the league table. So obviously we've mentioned the points comparison. Sunderland, who obviously, just to clarify, finished 21st out of 22. So they were the next worst team. Their goal difference was minus 22, the worst in the division.
Yeah.
Stokes was minus 67.
I can imagine.
They shipped 91 goals that season, and they scored 24.
If it was like a Sunday league team, they'd be struggling for players.
They'd be
getting uncles and, can you have a game, mate?
Maybe that's what the problem was. Maybe they did chip them in. Any of them have any brothers that looked similar? Oi, Gary, I can't face another loss. Can you just go step in for me?
They played under registered names, players. But when you looked at them, they were
absolutely ridiculous stuff. But yeah, so Stoke were embarrassingly bad. Mm. But the real kind of feel-good story that came down to the final game of the season was Coventry. So Coventry will remain in the bottom three for prolonged periods of the season and look likely to be relegated alongside Sunderland and Stoke. So it's Coventry that more often than not were that third team.
Yeah.
As we've discussed, the end of the season often wasn't the same day. It was all spread across sometimes a couple of weeks, depending on how many games in hand you had. So Norwich would go on to win 2-1 at Chelsea in their final match of the season, which meant that Coventry, who had just drawn 0-0 with Ipswich, had to win all three of their remaining matches. So Norwich had already finished their season by beating Chelsea, so had done everything they could do, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had to win all three of their matches, this is Coventry, to stay up and either send Norwich or West Ham down instead of them. So the great escape begins. Coventry would manage to beat Stoke 1-0. So obviously Stoke were dreadful, but somehow they
only put one past them.
Then they took on high-flying Luton, who had been very good this season, and they beat them 1-0, meaning that they had to beat the league and cup winners, cup champions, Everton.
Who'd already won the league?
The division. Yeah. They'd already won the league.
I mean, not a bad time to play them.
No. What follows was a hugely flattering victory for Coventry as they battered an understrength Everton team 4-1 to complete their great escape. So if you're Norwich, you've got to be pissed.
You'd be livid, wouldn't you? Yeah.
Everton already won the league, but amazing.
Peter Reid, Neville Sather, right on the tiles.
Some arguments to this day that their water bottles were filled with booze. Absolutely incredible.
Oh,
but yeah, so Coventry managed to, like, they could only beat what was in front of them. They managed to win their three remaining games. And you've got to be thinking, obviously Everton already won the league, but they're still looking at Everton being like, that's the final game of the season. So even if we beat the other two, we've still got to play the champions.
Again, I know we're going to overuse the phrase, I know we are, but that is a sliding doors moment of monumental proportions. Because 2 years from this point, Coventry have the greatest day in their history.
Yeah.
Which simply wouldn't have happened if they'd gone down.
No,
because they would have lost their players.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
It is funny that for all the, obviously nowadays, billions of pounds that are spent, all of the FA meddling, all of the rules, regulations, like profit and sustainability, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Sometimes it literally just does come down to, can you score more goals in the opposition in one game? Like, that's literally what it comes down to. Yeah. In this 90 minutes, can we direct the future of this football club? Which is astounding. Brilliant. When you put it like that. That's why we love this game.
That's it. That's it.
So that was the final days, but let's get into the season as a whole.
Yes! Jensen! John Jensen has finally got one right!
This would be a historic season for good and for bad reasons, but let's start with the trivial stuff. So Everton would beat Liverpool 1-0 in a Merseyside derby for the Charity Shield.
Boom.
So not the
Matters this year, mate.
Well, it's funny how you've changed your tune, that's all I'll say. But it basically starts a trend for Everton this season, especially when it comes to their dealings with Liverpool. So Everton beat Liverpool 1-0 in the Merseyside derby, the Charity Shield. Also, as a sign of things to come and a telling state of fan affairs, the opening game of the season between Arsenal and Chelsea, which is obviously a London derby, would be asked to be kicked off early at 11:30 on police advice.
Oh, wow.
This is really it's
hooligan world, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the dark days of English football. Mm. We're really going to lean into that in this week's report,
unfortunately. Of course we are, yeah.
So, because of all the uprising of hooliganism, as you've spoken about, the police wanted it early, give people less time to drink, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
2 weeks later, crowd trouble would also mar the match between Coventry City and Leicester City at Highfield Road, with hooligans throwing things at each other, attacking, fights outside the stadium. Really dark, and that's right at the start of the season.
Yeah.
So, season kicks off, and by the end of September, Liverpool, the reigning champions, have won only two of their 8 league matches this season.
Cool.
So they start dismally. The top of the table becomes a game of musical chairs as Arsenal, Tottenham, Newcastle, Nottingham Forest all take turns to top the league by mid-October.
Wow.
So a couple of months into the season and we've literally seen 5 teams that have already started to vie for it.
Yeah.
So what you spoke about last week in terms of starting to see competitiveness now at the top of the table, despite Liverpool's dominance overall, it was at least being kept competitive and keeping Liverpool honest. By the 20th of October, a big result ensues for the Toffees as Everton beat Liverpool again at Anfield for the first time in 14 years.
Ooh.
So that is getting a monkey off your back.
Yeah.
Everton starting to show that, okay, we can do it in a pre-season friendly, but we can also do it when it matters.
So go into friendly, Anfield.
Charity Shield, silver. Mate, come on.
We did the treble.
It's barely silver. I want to see one of these players bite it when they get given it. See it mould away like a Christmas chocolate. Arsenal would also take a consistent position at the top of the charts. And after this result from Everton, they would go on to thrash Man United 5-0 and send a warning shot across the bow for their league rivals.
Bastard.
So Everton starting to really shine.
Show their teeth.
That's right. But Arsenal seeming to be their biggest rivals this season. But the end of the month comes around. Liverpool, in the bottom three, are relegation candidates at the start of November, which is crazy, really.
Man.
Yeah, they were so, so
This is
bad.
Their bad season, isn't it?
They still have a decent enough year. Here.
Right.
But only getting out of the relegation zone thanks to a 2-0 win against Nottingham Forest. So Liverpool are out of the title race now. Everton would go top of the league for the first time heading towards Christmas, but they have Man United, Tottenham and Arsenal breathing down their necks. So those are the four names, really, that are still competing. And as New Year beckons, the top five are separated by only 5 points.
Wow.
So, Everton, Tottenham, Arsenal, Man U, as we've spoken about, all competing for the league. Liverpool take 5th place at the start of the new year.
God, that's a turnaround.
Within 6 weeks, they win all of their games and all of the results go for them. And
is this still Fagan?
Yes.
As manager, right, okay.
They go from relegation candidates.
Mm. I mean, were they ever really?
Well, not on paper, no. Yeah. It obviously wasn't going to be an actual relegate. But to be pretty much bottom of the table and to then be 5th within 6 weeks is amazing.
It's not bad going. I assume they just won every game.
They just decided to start winning again and it all started to click. But come February, Everton and Tottenham are the two teams slugging out for the title. And a month later, Tottenham would beat Liverpool at Anfield for the first time since 1912. So it was like 70 years for Tottenham. But Liverpool showing that they can still be beaten, that this is not a vintage Liverpool team.
Yeah.
And they move level on points with leaders Everton. So in a match touted as the title decide, Tottenham would host Everton at White Hart Lane, only for Everton to win 2-1. So this is the first v second place match. It's Andy Gray and Trevor Stephen scoring
Trevor Stephen.
Yeah, he's scoring each half to put Everton in front for Graham Roberts. He's a Tottenham guy.
Yeah, I
don't know the name, but he's
Silver Fox.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So Neville Southall then denies the home side a point with an amazing save, apparently, right at the death. So again, proving why he was so important to that Everton team. And the win takes Everton 4 points clear with 2 matches in hand on Man United, who had leapfrogged Spurs. By this point in the season, however, Everton are still competing on all fronts. They've made it to a two-legged semi-final, the Cup Winners' Cup, and they come away from the first leg with an encouraging goalless draw against German giants Bayern Munich. So Everton are competing on all fronts. It's their first time in Europe, and they are going toe-to-toe with Bayern Munich. They go 0-0, and that was in Germany as well. They also make it to a consecutive FA Cup final, beating Luton 2-1 in the semis. So they have gone far in these competitions, and they will be joined in the FA Cup final by Man United, who would beat Liverpool in the semis. So again, Liverpool unfortunately getting to a semi-final, which at the start of the season was not really on the cards. Or maybe it wasn't the cards, but they haven't played it. Relegation threatened Luton, handed Everton the advantage in a title race with a surprising 2-1 win over Man United. So with the title pressure slowly releasing, this is when Everton start to win their games, extend their lead. Everton would beat Norwich 3-0 and need only 5 points from their remaining 7 matches. So this is why things like Coventry happens, Everton literally know they can draw their way to a title. So they do go on to make history by reaching and winning their first ever European final after a 3-1 win over Bayern Munich at Goodison Park.
Go on.
So a historic.
What a night.
Yeah, turning over the German champions. Can you imagine all those Scousers going over and just giving it the big one to those Germans that had travelled? So the Cup Winners' Cup, which was obviously a big deal. I really like the idea of a Cup Winners' Cup.
It was a cool competition,
I genuinely think it would still have a bit of joy now. But Everton finally lift the First Division trophy on the 6th of May after beating QPR 2-0, and they would be crowned champions of England for the first time since 1970. So it was 15 years.
Oh, I thought
years,
it was the 60s,
years.
Right? Okay, cool.
Yeah, so obviously, they hadn't really. You'd had good spells, but you hadn't really looked like title contenders much from memory in that time. So Howard Kendall, who we'd spoken about, finally being given the time and the patience, and Andy Gray and that spine of Everton taking them over. So unfortunately, however, this is one of the many tragedies that would mar this entire season. This is the year where 56 people are killed and more than 200 injured at the Valley Parade in Bradford.
Yeah, I thought it was Bradford.
In the stadium fire, which I think we have covered, but I hadn't realised or I needed my memory jogged. It was caused by a discarded cigarette that lit fire to the waist beneath the main wooden stand.
Crazy.
An hour after the blaze first broke out, more than 100 firemen were still damping down the smouldering stand. Wood and metal remained red hot, preventing a full-scale search of the wreckage. On the pitch, police had begun the task of identifying the belongings of those who'd fled in terror. Many were horrified by what they'd seen.
Some of my officers were putting coats over their heads and trying to drag people out, and one of my inspectors got a woman halfway out and couldn't hang on to her, and she just went. But I can only describe it as a terrible tragedy. Some of my officers have been in tears this afternoon, and that shows the extent of the tragedy when a policeman cries over something like this.
Obviously, this led to a lot of stadium reform, which overall is good, healthy, but it's obviously sad that it took the death of 56 people. The footage is incredibly dramatic. We have touched on it in previous reports, but it's just one of a few tragedies that happens this season, unfortunately. Everton's dreams, however, of a treble come tumbling down.
You mean a quadruple?
Oh, you're turning to Jose Mourinho here, just counting the charity shield when it suits you. Everton's dream of a quadruple would continue as they would win the European Cup Winners' Cup with a 3-1 win.
Vienna.
Oh, look at that. He knows his stuff. Yeah. He's a true blue, this lad.
And the Everton fans, 20,000 of them and more in the stadium in Rotterdam. A joyous night for them, and certainly their team has done British football proud as Kevin Ratcliffe raises the European Cup with his cup.
So incredibly, Everton get to Europe for the first time and they win.
And they win it,
absolutely amazing. They didn't even have an easy run, like obviously taking out amazing. So unfortunately, the dreams of a quadruple would be dashed, though, as Man United would win the FA Cup for the sixth time, beating Everton 1-0 thanks to a goal from
Norman Whiteside. That's the first game I remember watching as a kid.
Is that right? Yeah. Wow. Yeah. How old would you have been in 1985?
6.
Wow.
Yeah. I vaguely remember crying. Yeah. It was a long day for a six-year-old.
It goes to extra time as well, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was a long day anyway because the cup final was actual cup final day then. So it would
start at 12.
Start at 12, I think it was earlier than that. It was crazy stuff. And then you watched the game and then it went to extra time. It was literally almost the last kick of the game.
Yeah.
And it was also the first sending off in a cup final, wasn't it?
We
covered it. I mean, Kevin Moran.
Kevin Moran for a foul on Peter Reid. Absolutely chops him down.
Yeah.
But you're right. So, that was tragic, really.
Heartbreaking, mate.
Yeah. Like, Big Ron gets his... Is it his second FA Cup?
It was, yeah. I don't know if we corrected it, but I said that wrongly a couple of weeks ago. They only won one. They won two, didn't they? Because they beat Brighton as well.
Yeah. But so yeah, Big Ron gets a bit of silverware, but
only lasts another year. Oh, Big Ron.
That's right. After that, yeah. Yeah, very interesting. Mm. Talking about sliding doors moment. What Absolutely. If they'd given him more patience, or if they'd had more time with Ron?
I mean, can you give Ron more patience?
I think all of our patience with Ron has run out. But however, after singing as low as 20th early in the season, Liverpool would clinch the runners-up spot, so they would overtake Arsenal.
In the league?
Yeah, Tottenham. They would overtake Man United to finish second with a 3-0 win at West Ham. In their penultimate league match, Everton would take their foot off the gas, as we spoke about. However, they still managed to beat Liverpool, resulting in a treble over their rivals this year.
Go on, the boys.
Absolutely amazing. And as I said at the start, they would win the league by 13 points. But unfortunately, we do need to mention another tragedy, this time in the European Cup.
I saw, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was. Yeah.
So it's Liverpool-Juventus in the European Cup final, where 39 spectators, most of them Italian, were trampled to death on the terraces of Heysel Stadium because of crowd trouble, mainly from Liverpool fans.
Yeah, it was horrific.
Yeah, really, really sad, horrendous.
Juventus didn't get banned, did they?
No, they didn't.
Right, so it was Liverpool, UEFA saw it that way. Right,
Reports Liverpool fans trying to kick through cinder blocks to try and literally get into the opposition stand, caused the wall to collapse. Obviously, just really horrible. An outrageous behaviour by Liverpool fans. And as a result, initially all English clubs were banned indefinitely from European competition, with the stipulation being that Liverpool would be ordered to serve an extra 3 years whenever English sides were readmitted.
Is that right?
That would be changed slightly. So for
those
that don't
know...
They
didn't do that,
did they? No. Right. For those that don't know, English teams were banned for 5 years eventually, and Liverpool were banned for six, so we got an extra year, but not the three that was originally stipulated. I don't
were
know
Were you eligible for the year you were banned for? It's all well and good saying Liverpool were banned, but had you qualified?
Oh, that's a good question.
Or maybe it was a case of English teams knew they could qualify that season. It must have been that.
Yeah, it would have been that. Yeah.
That's what they mean by they were banned. So in a way, Liverpool were like, there was no point
in
finishing third because it didn't make any difference to us.
Yeah, other than professional pride and everything else. But there was no extra.
Right.
And quite rightly so. So the... European Cup final would finish 1-0 to Juventus thanks to a Michel Platini penalty, because they actually carried on that game, which is crazy to think about nowadays. But that would all lead to Joe Fagan resigning as Liverpool manager at the end of the season.
Is that right?
He's only there for 2 years.
Wow.
Obviously, he still wins plenty of silverware for
2 years.
So
he walked away from the club?
Walked away from the club. Wow. And this is when I think Kenny Dalglish steps up as player-manager.
Player-manager, yeah.
Coming towards the end of his career. But with that, let's talk about some significant others. So we spoke about the spine of Everton's team, kind of carrying them forward. And Peter Reid would win PFA Players Player of the Year, and Neville Southall would win Footballer of the Year, which is obviously quite rare for a goalie to win that accolade.
Yeah.
But it shows you how important he was, the fact that he was basically winning points for Everton.
Yeah.
It's an interesting point of like modern football starting to creep in. You spoke about obviously games starting to be broadcast again after a 20-year wait or however long. Arsenal would unveil their 18-foot by 14-foot video screen. For extra match day entertainment, the first of its kind in English football.
Arsenal led the way.
Yeah, the first digital screen. But when you think about 18-foot by 14-foot, like nowadays, but it's
my TV's
crazy.
Bigger than that, mate. Yeah.
I think my TV used to be that in depth before we had the flat screen. You had to basically just cut a hole in your wall.
Yeah, those things are great, weren't they? Yeah.
But nevertheless, Arsenal were the first to lead the line with that. Norwich City would become the first club to win a major trophy in a relegation season, as we spoke about, after beating Sunderland and lifting the League Cup, and both teams going down to second division. This occurrence would not be repeated for 26 years until what team were also relegated after lifting the League Cup? Can you remember?
Middlesbrough?
No.
Wigan?
No, but they did.
Oh, Birmingham.
Yes, yeah. Birmingham, yeah, against Arsenal, if I remember correctly. They embarrassed Arsenal. And then just a couple of notable debutees.
Debutants,
thank you. Paul Gascoigne, the 17-year-old midfielder, makes his debut for Newcastle.
Really?
In a 1-0 win 85. Over QPR. Absolutely incredible.
Wow.
We spoke about Gary Lineker making his debut a few seasons earlier in the second division. Mm. Well, very much he has arrived now, as you mentioned. He scores 24 goals and gets joint top goal scorer with Kerry Dixon at Chelsea. It's a name you don't often hear, but was a good player in his day.
Yeah.
Lineker has arrived now for Leicester. Kerry Dixon at Chelsea, 24 goals to the league. And then just...
Well, Lineker transfers. As a result of that season.
Is that right?
Yeah, he goes to Everton. Right, 85-86. Yeah.
There we go. So Everton cashing in on the fact that they can now...
Get the biggest names.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Amazing stuff. And then just a little note. This is the Liverpool fan in me, so just allow me a little bit of indulgence, but John Aldridge would score 30 goals in the second division for promoted Oxford. So Oxford would get into
Oxford were great.
Were they?
Yeah, they had loads of players. Aldridge, Ray Houghton, and there was another one as well. There was like three of them. Because right. Ray Houghton went to Liverpool as well,
yeah,
didn't he?
Right, yeah, amazing. So, Aldridge in a couple of seasons were going to join Liverpool, but it was 30 goals, the goals that get them promoted, which I thought was just a nice mention. Yeah, 30 goals in the second division, lovely. It's kind of ending on a sour note, which I didn't necessarily want to, but I think it's important to dig into the state of English football, because it doesn't get better, really, over the next 3 or 4 years, despite what I'm about to talk about. And that's what makes Italian 90 and what England do in that tournament so special, because... Yeah. Obviously, I was one when Italian 90 happened.
Yeah.
But all the documentaries, chatting to fans like yourself that are slightly older or people older than yourself, that like everything changes. You've obviously got Thatcher against all the England fans at the moment. It is just important to remember how bad things were before.
It was horrific.
Everything changed.
Yeah. Everything was hooligans.
Yeah.
Everything, yeah.
So I could have literally made an endless list, but these were kind of like 6 or 7 of the big bullet points just to talk about how bad the fan hooliganism was this season. Yeah. So this all happened in the 84-85 season. So Chelsea actually introduced an electrified fence as an aim of combating hooliganism.
Wow.
So treating England fans like chickens, which quite right.
Yeah.
But yeah, they had to introduce an electrified fence to stop people climbing over and running onto the pitch and attacking people. Rioting Leeds fans would hold up play and cause the collapse of a brick wall, killing a 14-year-old boy at Birmingham, which is horrible. Millwall hooligans would riot before, during and after their team's FA Cup quarter-final tie at Luton. Burton would be beaten 6-1 by Leicester at the baseball ground after their goalkeeper, Paul Evans, was left dazed by a missile thrown from the crowd. You can see he gets absolutely conked. He genuinely has concussion. They lose 6-1. The game was ordered to have a replay, which Leicester still won, but they only won 1-0. So it shows what a difference between 6-1 and 1-0.
Yeah.
Like, this guy should have been rushed to hospital, but still played on. Over 100 people would be arrested after serious crowd trouble disrupts the second leg of the Milk Cup semi-final between Chelsea and Sunderland. Darlington would beat Middlesbrough 2-1 in an FA Cup replay, but the match was held up for 10 minutes during the second half following a pitch invasion by the fans. And then finally, Millwall fans would riot in the 6th round against Luton, causing Luton to ban away fans from their ground for the rest of the season. So, just outrageous. It's out of control. Clubs don't have a unified way of banning it. There's no thoughts on how to...
It's so sad. You said about chickens. You know, they treat them like chickens. But ultimately, this period of time is largely responsible for what happened at Hillsborough.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you'd never have cages.
No.
Like, you know, look at football stadiums now. It'd be unthinkable.
If fans started spilling over the side at a football game, you'd be like, okay, something is seriously wrong. Whereas, obviously.
But now you just walk onto the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's the craziness. No, but because of this culture, that, you know, football grounds were seen as things that they had to control.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, welcome people in to enjoy it. It's nuts.
Yeah, it is. And no, it's a really astute point to make about the tragedy of Hillsborough. It was caused because it wasn't unusual to see fans climbing the ring fencing to try and get
in. Well, the initial reaction to Hillsborough was the police were trying to get people to push them back in because they're like, you know, stop being twats.
Yeah.
Because they're used to people being twats in football grounds.
Yeah, and all of it just spirals and spirals and spirals,
yeah.
Which is sad. So I didn't necessarily want to end on that note, but I thought it was important to talk about...
Well, it's where we are, isn't
it?
It's, it's the history of the game. And obviously there is a redemptive arc, but there's also a lot of tragic days that follow this little 4 or 5 year period in English football, definitely. Yeah.
But let's not focus on the negative. Let's accentuate the positive as Peter Rees, Neville Southall, Howard Kendall take the mighty Toffees to the top of
the
English
charts.
Well done to Everton, but join us next week to find out who can take the crown once more.